Date was 1989, and the place was Orlando, Florida. Roy Anthony Borges is a prison inmate who became a Christian while he was inside. But he had a lot of hard lessons to unlearn. All of his life he had been taught to hate his enemies, particularly those within the prison walls. One of his biggest enemies inside the prison was a guy named Rodney. Rodney just pushed every button he could to bother him. And one day, Rodney stole his radio and headphones while Roy was playing in the volleyball yard, out in the prison yard. It was a gift from his mother and his sister that past Christmas. And Roy was, he was angry. He wanted revenge, but he prayed about it. And it seemed to him that God was testing him. Roy wanted to respond with violently. He wanted to go and knock the grin off of Rodney's face. But Romans 12 kept coming to his mind. Paul's instructions to bless enemies, to avoid vengeance, to leaving it to God to settle the score, to not take it so personally, kind of like what Robert was talking about. And so Roy began to look at Rodney through God's eyes, to have compassion on him, and he began praying for him. He began trusting God to accomplish something in Rodney's life. Over time, Roy's hatred for Rodney began to fade. He began finding himself helping his enemy, telling him about Jesus. And then one day, Roy saw Rodney kneeling down in his cell with his Bible in tears, reading the Bible, and he knew that good had overcome evil. And this is what we're focusing on today. This one verse in Romans 12, verse 14, sets up the rest of the chapter. It's just one maxim. Well, two actually. But two that echo each other quite well. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And as we go through this verse, we're going to find ourselves wondering if it is actually possible to do this. Can we actually live this verse out? My guess is that there's some of you here today who are feeling a bit of a pushback on this one. This verse, I don't like this verse. It's pushing it and you want to push back. Let me tell you, it will be impossible unless you and I understand the doctrine of Romans chapters 1 through 11. That we have been saved and we are living surrendered lives. And it's that type of life that we read about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit, there is no possible way to live out this verse. And it's going to be a challenge to practice. But I want us to work at committing it to memory. And I hope that we can all have it memorized before we leave here today. It's only 10 words. I think we can do it. Let's try it out right now. Read with me. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's not bad. Let's try it again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now this passage is not easy. It runs contrary to the nature that we have within us, the flesh. We're to respond exactly opposite from the way the world wants us to respond, which is, do unto others before they can do it unto me. Let me also point out that in the New Testament times, Christians were targets for persecution of one sort or another. The believers in Rome were blamed for the fire that swept through the city. As a result, the Emperor Nero had scores of Christians slaughtered. He persecuted Christians by using them as garden torches, feeding them to animals, using the rack, swords, beatings, crucifixions, other tortures far too gruesome to mention. I read about one this week that just made my stomach sick. It was so horrific. And he took great pleasure in inflicting this type of torture upon Christians. These things are not pleasant to think about, but these are the things a man had to be prepared for if he took the stand for Christ when Paul wrote this letter. And with that as a background, it sure seems impossible for believers to bless those who are intent on harming them, doesn't it? How many of you have ever had somebody in your life that you just couldn't stand? You couldn't stand them because they persecuted you. They were the bully. They were the one who picked on you. They did everything to make your life miserable. Well, most of us want to write off those who have wronged us. But we can't. As we take a closer look at this verse, we're told to do something, and then we're told not to do something. We notice right away from the very first word, bless. It's used twice in the verse, perhaps to underscore the importance and the emphasis of this very word. We can't really say that we didn't see it there, or we weren't sure what it really means, or what God wants us to do. Because he says in this one verse, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. He repeats it just in case you didn't get it the first time, and therefore we have no excuse to try and change the meaning. Bless those. Bless and do not. And the word comes from two words, meaning good or well, and words or to speak. And thus to speak well of a person. It's the Greek word eulogeo. You might recognize it as our English word eulogy. When you give a eulogy, you celebrate, you praise them, you bless someone with the words that you speak. You say things that they, had they been there to hear them, would enjoy hearing. Enjoy the blessing of God, that he would pour out his goodness, his grace, and his mercy upon them. Now let's just admit that it's much easier to praise someone who pleases us. How in the world are we to give praise to someone who is persecuting us? But that is what it says. To speak well of them, to speak good of them, to bless them in God's name. How do you do that for someone who is persecuting? We are called to show kindness towards our persecutors instead of trying to repay them in kind. And it requires the strength of the Holy Spirit to repay unkindness and injury with courtesy. A natural response is to curse and retaliate. And I think that Paul thought of Stephen. Paul thought of Jesus Christ. But I think he first and foremost thought of Stephen, because he was there at the stoning of Stephen. He gave his blessing upon that act. He visually saw the men stoning Stephen for his faith in Christ. He couldn't help but think of Jesus dying on the cross. They both modeled these words and responded to persecution, even to death, by praying for God's forgiveness of their persecutors. As Stephen stood there being stoned, well, maybe he wasn't standing at this point, but as he was being stoned, he looked up to heaven, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and he forgave those who were stoning him. The idea behind this persecute is to press hard after, to pursue with eagerness and all diligence. It gets even more complicated when we realize that the verb is in the present imperative tense, which means it commands an ongoing action. It's a constant persecution. It's a never-ending persecution. It just keeps happening and happening and happening and happening. Well, a Greek scholar by the name of Kenneth Wurst offers this translation. Be constantly blessing those who are constantly persecuting you. We can't just bless our persecutors one time and be done with it. Bless you and move on and never try to think about you again. That's not what it's saying. Instead, we are called to do it persistently. We are to pray for those who are preying on you. And this reminds us of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. We also remember what Jesus said in Luke 6. He says, but I tell you to hear me. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. This is what Jesus is asking us to do. And it's such a radical teaching because we're told not to just retaliate, but we're told to do something that isn't reflexive at all. This verse of Scripture is so difficult. Let's say it together again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Richard Wurmbrand was a pastor in Romania in the 1930s. He was imprisoned 3 times for a total of 14 years for preaching the gospel. At one time during his incarceration, a minister in a cell near his was thrown back into a cell after being tortured. He was left bleeding and half dead. And Richard understood his pain as he had endured these many sessions of reform like this. Many feelings of hatred welled up with him and within others. Others cursed the communists. Others cursed the guards. And in that moment, Richard heard the minister groaning these words. Please don't curse them. Keep silent. I wish to pray for them. And at that very moment, that example changed Richard's life. After being released from prison, he was eventually exiled from Romania, and he made his way on a very interesting route through Scandinavia, then over to England and over to the United States. There he formed an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. After he was released from prison, he was asked this question so many times. How can you love someone who's torturing you? How do you bless them? And his answer is absolutely astonishing. He says, by looking at men, not as they are, but as they will be. I could also see in our persecutors a Saul of Tarsus, a future Apostle Paul, many officers of the secret police to whom we witnessed became Christians and were happy to later suffer in prison for having found our Christ. Although we were whipped, as Paul was, in our jailers, we saw the potential of a jailer from Philippi who became a convert. We dreamed that they soon would ask, what must I do to be saved? Richard himself has 18 permanent deep scars on his upper body from the beatings that he endured. They remind him daily to pray for those who persecute him. Bless those who persecute. Don't blast the persecutors. The word curse doesn't refer to swearing or using profanity, but it means to doom or to wish evil upon. And the construction in the Greek forbids the continuance of an action already going on. You see, the Christians in Rome were already responding with cursing. Paul was saying, stop cursing. I know you're doing it, stop it. And one commentator points out that to curse denotes a devotion to destruction. We're being warned here against wicked words towards those who are doing destructive things to us. Both blessing and cursings are pronouncements of the mouth that have to do with the future well-being of the ones that we are talking about. And we're prone to proclaim something like this towards a person we like or dislike. If you would just die. Or so-and-so can just go to some other place. Or when we say, he's a worthless human being. I hate this person. I wish they would just fill in the blank. And the word curse means to wish evil upon someone, going so far as to ask God to bring injury, harm, misfortune to the one who has wronged us. God, I want revenge on this person. Take it out on them now. And I can sense the pushback at a time like this right now. It doesn't seem fair to seek God's blessing on someone who has harmed us, does it? Most of us are actually quick to curse. We call it complaining. Not just in the face of persecution, but when we're inconvenienced, when we're embarrassed. It's not even persecution. How in the world can we do something like this when we just want to take their heads off? Why wouldn't we retaliate against someone who is out to get us? Well, the former prime minister, Khrushchev, what was he? I don't even know. Dictator, we'll just go with that. Khrushchev once said this, "The difference between communism and Christianity is great. When someone strikes you on the face, you turn the other cheek. If you strike me on the face, I hit you so hard you don't get up." That's in contrast to what Abraham Lincoln said when he was being criticized for being gracious towards his opponents. He was asked, why do you try to make friends with them? You should destroy them. To which he replied gently, "Am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends?" Think about it this way. We are to bless because we have been blessed, and we are to avoid cursing because Jesus already took that curse on himself. So let's repeat the verse again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We know from other passages that persecution will become more prevalent the closer we get to Christ's second coming. Some believers have brought into the belief that once we have Jesus in our life, everything is going to be great. Not so. Maybe we're even of the thought that we should be successful and financially well off. Actually, the Bible says the exact opposite will happen when those who honor and obey Christ. Listen to Acts 14, verse 22. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus never taught a prosperity gospel, but he did preach a persecution gospel. We read the final Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can make the case that there is more and more hostility towards Christians in our culture today. John Stott suggests that we should not be surprised if anti-Christian hostility increases, but rather be surprised if it does not. Jesus said, "If they persecute me, they will persecute you also." And then he adds later on, "In this world, you will have trouble." Jesus told the disciples that they would face incredible struggles. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me." These are not words of prosperity and love and joy. They are reality. And why is persecution so pervasive? Simply put, according to John Piper, is due to the nature of Christianity and the sinfulness of human beings. There is such a tension between the message and the way of life of Christians in the mindset and the way of the world. The conflict is inevitable. We will be persecuted because of the life we live and because of the Lord we love. Sadly, we've made the Christian way of life too painless. We've gone along and we've gotten along. Let me just ask you a couple of questions to illustrate my point. What have you done in the last month that has caused anyone to challenge your faith? What have you risked speaking out for Jesus? How have you defended the cause of Christ ever? Have you identified yourself as a Christ follower? Does everyone you know that you are a follower of Jesus? Perhaps we're not persecuted very much here in Canada because we don't see the Savior in our lives all that often. What does the scripture say in Romans 12:14? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I'm going to take a moment here and make it really personal, as if I just didn't do that. I know that for most of us, we can think of at least someone who at some point in our lives has persecuted you. And I'm also quite certain that many of us have never spent any time practicing this verse with that person. So take some time to ask God to bless instead of blast that person you're thinking of right now. Someone has observed that our enemies are not necessarily those who hate us as much as they are people who we hate ourselves. Who has wronged you more than any other person? It's reflex to want people to hurt as much as we hurt. So take some time and ask God to bless them. Pray right now for that individual who has hurt you so bad, that parent who has wounded you, that child who has broken your heart, that friend who has turned on you, the coworker who has spread lies about you, that bully at school, that ex-wife or husband, that in-law who loathes you, whoever it is. Take a moment right now and pray for them. And now, as you pray, ask God to help you think of what you can do to give a verbal blessing to that person. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you are really struggling to do that. There's some practical advice that a preacher by the name of Ray Pritchard gives at this point. He says, when faced with someone who has mistreated you, ask God to do for them what you want God to do for you. Take a stab at it. Give it a try. The mere practice of blessing instead of blasting will change you. The shift in your spirit may be incremental. Maybe you will hate that person, I don't know, 10% less. And the more you bless them and the more you practice this, it'll move to 20 and 30 and 40. And then who knows what God will do in your heart. Instead of seeking retribution, ask God to help you be redemptive in their life, to show them the gospel. Use your words to tenderize your tormentor. Who knows? Maybe God will use you to reach that person that has been persecuting you as they see Jesus Christ in you. And one day you can spend eternity with them in heaven. It really comes down to this. Do I really believe that if I follow what the Bible says, that God will show up and do what only He can do? Do I really believe it? It's a matter of obedience. Let's say it together one more time. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for even parts like this, which are difficult. For our human nature is to want to curse, to want retaliation, to want to harm those who are harming us. And I pray that you would give us the strength through your Spirit to bless and not curse. This we pray. In Jesus' name.